What's up, Brandy?
What?
You just look like you're just done.
I'm tired. I woke up. Like, I think I woke up. You know how you wake up, but you think it's later than it is?
Yeah.
Like, I thought for some reason that it was like when I woke up. Because I woke up at like 8:30.
Nice.
But I kept waking up before that. So, you know, like I wake up and then go back to sleep and like I'm going back to sleep. So when I finally actually woke up and got up, I thought it was like 11 o'clock. It was only 8:30. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God. It was like one of those, you know, you wake up and you're like, what the hell?
When I woke up this morning.
What's happening today? Why? So yeah, I'm pretty much spent for this weekend.
So apparently I called my husband a son of a bitch this morning.
What?
So I had a hard night with the baby last night, obviously. I told you about, you know, so I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to change her diaper, pretty much. And then I got in my bed because I was in her room. So then I got in my bed and then I went to sleep. And then the dogs woke up at 5 o'clock and I had to let them out. I got back in the bed and Jamal had woken up and I fell asleep again. And then like 15, 20 minutes later, he was dressed. And he walked by my side.
Was he going golfing?
Yeah. So he walked by my side of the bed, and I guess I said something to the effect of, you going golfing? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, you son of a bitch. apparently I was like, take your baby with you. And I said, I do not remember that. And I was tired. What do you expect? I'm freaking exhausted. And he was like, you acted like I was going to the Bahamas or something. Like, I was leaving at so early. Like, I was going to be home early. He got home at 9. And I was like, I know that. And I don't know why. I was just like, you son of a bitch. Take your baby with you.
Wow.
I'm tired.
That's hilarious.
I'm so tired.
He was probably like, what the hell?
He was probably like, damn, okay. And that's exactly what he said. Well, we had, we celebrated my daughter's birthday yesterday.
My daughter.
Brenly. Brenly, son. She turned 2 yesterday. Yesterday.
Okay.
So yeah. So it was a long day.
Yeah.
And a long night. And I was tired. Son of a bitch.
It's exhausting. But that's hilarious. Dude. You son of a bitch. Take your baby with you.
I guess I said that. I could see that happening.
Oh my good.
Dude. So, how was your week, Brandy?
I don't know. I honestly don't even know. My week was weird, I think.
You weren't there?
I was apparently like observing my week from somewhere else.
From above? Out of body experience?
I don't know what happened last week. I'm just, ugh. I think I only came to Roseman like once this week. Once last week. On Monday. Yeah. And then I spent the rest of the week at home.
Okay.
But I was having, you know, pain and shit, so.
Oh, yeah.
And then, that was pretty much it. Yeah, like, last week was really, it was okay. I mean, I did some work, but other than that, that was pretty much it.
Did you get that client you were trying to get?
No, I, sent him a follow-up email, but see, I called, and I talked to his freaking, I don't know who it was, it wasn't his secretary, paralegal, I don't know, somebody, and she didn't understand what I was saying. And so I was like, that's because I wasn't calling to talk to you,
but he
put her on the phone. So I was just like, okay, well. So
it's a game.
I sent him an email after I talked to her and basically an outline of everything that I was trying to explain to her. Mm-hmm. And then I sent him a follow-up email on Friday. So, yeah. So I'll send them like maybe one more email and then.
I would. They say it's.
They say
it's,
like 3 to 5 emails. And I'm like, that's a lot of emailing.
Not even that.
To not get a response.
Touches. It's like 5 to 10 touches before you're going to convert somebody. Which is ridiculous.
It is.
But it's just like consistency.
People are feet draggers and.
I drag my feet and the knuckles, be dragging, and I'm just like, ugh. But I'll eventually get it done. So, it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. How was your week?
I was getting ready for this party. Getting ready for this party. I went to work every day last week.
Okay.
So, that is quite the accomplishment.
No mental health days.
No mental health days for me. Other than that, what did I do? I don't remember. It worked.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like, it was a blur, huh?
It's just like, ugh.
It was a blur.
Oh! I did, I watched Good Omens.
Okay.
And I finished watching Jessica Jones.
Okay.
Last week.
What'd you think of Good Omens?
It's pretty funny. I like David Tennant, so, you know. But
what about him in that walk? That walk he had. He was like, if I were a demon, I would walk like this. This would be my demon walk. Like, do you know what I'm saying? It was just so odd, his, like, his strut. It was just like, where is this coming from?
Mannerism. Yeah, he was
How
funny.
About how he treated his plants? Grow! Better! They were shaking in fear. And he was like, what is this? Is this a spot?
And he killed his plant.
He killed his plant.
He goes back with the empty pot. The empty pot and shows the other plants. Like,
he was like, grow better!
Oh my god.
Way to scare the shit out of your plant.
Okay, and then he was driving, I mean, his Bentley was nice. He's driving his Bentley on fire.
Dude.
Oh my god, that was hilarious.
I did enjoy that series. I'll probably watch it again just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. I feel like the Antichrist, I don't know.
Adam.
He was just a little, like, I think he underplayed his part. I think.
You think he could have went harder?
Yeah. I was just like, maybe this is his first role or something.
And I enjoyed it, and I think I could probably get a little more from him, a little more intensity, but it was enough. For me. For me,
it's all right. But yeah, it's pretty funny. And freaking John Hamm with those lavender eyes.
He was a dick.
He was Gabriel. I mean,
yeah, know. I didn't realize who he was until afterwards.
Oh, really?
And he was a dick.
They were so dumb.
Well,
we're just buying porn. Like, you go in a bookstore and announce, "Oh, thank you for selling me this porn." Like, people don't talk like that, sir.
Nobody talks like that, sir. Get your life. Get your life. The one thing I'm gonna have to say is, like, I haven't been shopping on Amazon a lot. Just because I'm trying to spend my money locally, and I've not been using the online things lately. But you know, Saturday was Brinley's birthday, so I was killing it on Amazon this week.
You were killing
it. I was killing the game on Amazon this week, and that kind of brings me to a segue. We want to tell you a little bit about Honey, guys. Yeah, so we have a sponsor, and it is Honey. Do you guys know what Honey is? Nope, you don't, do you? If you do, you already know what's up with that, but Honey helps you save money while you're shopping online. So, Honey is a little add-on that you add to your web browser, and you get the best deals without even trying. You're able to use it on 37,000 different websites like Amazon, eBay, Macy's, Ulta, even freaking Papa John's and Groupon. So, what do they do? They just find you the best deal. Like,
yeah, it searches for coupons.
It searches for coupons and it automatically does it. So once you have the...
It applies it to your purchase.
It applies it to your purchases so you could be saving money. So, of course, we got the Honey right after I spent a bunch of money on Amazon. But not anymore. I've got Honey now. So if you guys want some Honey and you guys want to save some money, tell them we sent you and use our promo code. It's www.joinhoney.com/REF as in Fred. /book of lies. www.joinhoney.com/ref/book of lies. So use this promo code and save some money, because you don't want to be cheating people to just save a couple bucks, right? You can save some money with some Honey. Again, www.joinhoney.com patreon.com/ref/bookoflies. And I hope you enjoy it. Have some fun.
You dropped that last W, by the way.
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. All right, it's all good. Anyway, I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book of Lies, the podcast. So, Brandy, what are we doing today?
You tell me.
Yeah, right? I will tell you.
What are we talking about today?
I will tell you who we are talking about today. We are talking about Shalom Rubashkin.
Shalom. I really like that name.
Shalom.
I mean, it's a great word. I like the name Shalom because it could be a dude or a chick's name.
And this Shalom is a dude. Don't think it matters, but it's a dude. So, I love American Greed, by the way. It's that podcast on YouTube, and I get a lot of hot tips and leads from there. So that's where I got this information from and some other sources.
Podcast on YouTube.
Yeah, like Joe Rogan streams on YouTube.
Okay, podcast. So you watch it instead of listening to it.
Well, I watch and listen to it. Yeah, it's not on, I haven't found it like on my phone or anything. I think it's just on YouTube.
Okay.
But, American Greed, that podcast, I got this information also from forward.com. And you guys hear my paper? I printed shit out, guys. I probably still won't be able to read my own notes, but it's all good. So, Shalom Rubashkin was born October 30th, 1959. And Shalom was born to his parents.
Okay.
Rivka and Aaron Rubashkin. And Aaron Rubashkin is they're Jewish, by the way. Sorry. If you didn't realize it, they're Jewish. And Aaron owns a kosher market. And he's also a butcher in Brooklyn, New York. And the parents are actually from Neville, Russia. And the Rubashkins are ultra-Orthodox Jews belonging to the Shabbat Lubavitch Hasidic. Hasidic! Okay, so it's the Shabbat Lubavitch Hasidic movement.
Okay.
That's the...
They're Hasidic Jews.
Yeah, gosh. For all that, man. Anyway. So, Aaron Rubashkin is the father of Shalom Rubashkin. And he's his second youngest son. That's how they put it in there.
The second youngest. Yeah. So, he's basically the next to the youngest son.
Exactly. So, anyway, Aaron owned a kosher grocery store and, like, meat market in Brooklyn, New York. And what was going on is in the 80s, like the late 80s, it was becoming more difficult and difficult to find a reliable resource or a reliable source for kosher meat, and it was also getting too expensive.
Right.
So what happens is Aaron Rubashkin, the dad, he decides to start his own business and is like, you know what, whatever, I'm going to do my own fucking thing and I'm going to get you some meat. So in 1987, Aaron Rubashkin opened the agriprocessors plant in Postville, Illinois. And he put two of his sons in charge.
So from
New York.
From Brooklyn to Illinois.
Iowa.
I thought you said Illinois.
No, I said Iowa.
You said Illinois.
If I did say that, it's on tape and we're going to listen to it.
You said Illinois.
Okay, that's fine. It's in Iowa. So it's in Postville,
Iowa.
Did I say Illinois?
Yes.
Guys, what did I say? Tell me what happened. The plant is in Iowa where they're producing the meats, and his market is in
Brooklyn.
Okay. This is a Brooklyn accent.
Brooklyn, there's a lot of Jews in New York. Period.
So he put his Shalom and his second young Shalom Rubashkin, the second youngest, he appointed him as CEO, and Heshni Rubashkin, the youngest, as vice president of marketing and sales. Okay? So, let's tell you a little bit about Shalom. So, Shalom is married, he has a wife, and they have 10 children.
Oh my god.
They have 10 kids. That's a lot.
Are any twins involved?
And they did not disclose that information.
I'm just saying, you have to push out all those kids. Mm.
That's a lot.
You're pregnant for 10 years.
You're probably
not in a row, but
years,
you know what I mean? Like, maybe not in a row. I don't know.
I couldn't do it.
Exactly.
Couldn't fucking do it. Fuck all that. No. Like, sorry, bro. the fucking shop is closed. It's closed. So, they have 10 children. And he was actually really involved in the movement. So he was doing a lot of traveling along, like, different states and stuff with his wife and his family, just being a part of the Hasidic movement and the organization and the community. And then when his father opened up Agriprocessors and he brought him in as CEO, he has no business experience. He knows nothing about running a business. Let me just say that right now. And if you do, prove me wrong. Because no. Let me just say this right now.
No. Yeah, like, what was his history? What did he do before?
He was just a part of the...
He was just a Jew.
He was just really involved in the church.
Right.
So, I don't know what he's doing in the church, but that was about it.
Yeah.
However... During his time as CEO at the plant, Agriprocessors grew into the largest kosher meat producer in the United States.
Oh.
And 60% of kosher meats and 40% of kosher poultry, they provided that to the nation. So that's what they were getting from this place, right? So they're running a slaughterhouse, Postville, Illinois, and they're a large-scale producer there. Postville, Illinois is a tiny-ass town, by the way. So they had to, like, bring workers in.
Yeah, you keep saying Illinois. It's Iowa.
Damn it! Fuck. Postville, Iowa. So they're bringing a lot of money into the town. There's a lot of money coming into the community. And it was a kosher meat dynasty, pretty much. 1.5 million pounds were shipped to grocery stores worldwide. And I have it right here in my...
Oh, shit. Worldwide?
Worldwide.
Wow.
Okay. And they were approved to ship meat to Israel. Israel was like, your food is blessed.
Yeah.
It's amazing because it was kosher. And I did a definition for kosher for you guys in case you don't know what kosher was. Because I don't know exactly what kosher meant. I know, hey, is this kosher? I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know, like, the extent of it. I just knew they couldn't eat pork and seafood. Yeah. But I didn't know the extent of kosher. So... I define kosher, and it
shellfish.
Says, according to the laws of the Torah.
The Torah?
The Torah. According to the laws of the Torah, to be eaten, a kosher species must be slaughtered by a shoshet? A shoshet?
A rabbi?
A ritual slaughterer.
Basically. Yeah. Okay.
Since the Jewish law prohibits causing any pain to animals, the slaughtering has to be effected in such a way that is unconscious. Wait. The slaughtering has to be effected in such a way that unconsciousness is instantaneous and death occurs almost instantaneously. So,
like that air gun thing.
Yeah, just... And they're supposed to just die pain free. They're not supposed to know anything. They're not supposed to suffer.
Right.
Right? But during his time there, there was a lot of fucking bullshit going on in this slaughterhouse. Because I have it right here in my notes. Shalom knows nothing about business. Regulations weren't followed. They discouraged union formation. And then fucking PETA got their asses on tape. So PETA's like, they have a tape of extreme animal cruelty. And it was not kosher what was going on at this time. So they had them just abusing fucking cows and just kicking them in. And it was just gross. Like,
yeah.
You've seen those fucking videos. It's yeah. disgusting.
Yeah.
So they got on PETA's list first. And they had the videos out there. And PETA was like, hey, guys, you guys are fucking up. And they're like, yeah, we fucking know. Go away.
Yeah, we know. Go away.
So Reblashkin's way of running the show was, oh, I didn't know anything. He just turned a blind eye. He was like, oh, this. And they
said. Well, then who said, yeah, we know?
Because it's on fucking tape. Like, the lawyers and the people that investigated, they knew what was going on. But they would just turn a blind eye and like, oh, whatever, it's fine. There's no way for us to be 100% kosher delivering all this meat. But your fucking, like, your tagline and what you're selling is kosher meat.
Right.
So there's a lot of people not getting kosher meat because these animals are suffering. Pretty much. So, anyway, PETA, they get out of trouble with PETA. And business is coming. Lots of money is coming in. They say they were making $300 million a year.
Oh, my God.
With this business and with this fucking meat. So, Reblashkin becomes the most powerful man in town. Because it's a small town.
Oh, God.
They're hiring a bunch of townspeople.
Like, so, he lives there.
He lives there. Then he eventually moved to the town. He bought a home in the town. And he was living high on the hog.
Of course.
Though they were living modestly, they were living better than... everybody else in the community,
mm-hmm.
and they have 10 kids. Of course, they have bunches of siblings and families and friends. So they're all coming to the town, living in the town, living good, because there's money flowing in the banks now. The banks are able to lend money.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of bullshit going on. I'm going to talk about this. But the people that come to the town, they start opening up businesses because Rubashkin is hiding money. And he's playing, he's moving money around.
He's laundering money through these businesses. Of course.
So he was like, hey, oh, you know, here, brother,
Ira's a better name.
Ira.
Or Saul.
Saul. Here's $100,000 for your business. Good luck. But I'm going to be back for this money soon, so shh, be quiet.
So wait, hold on. So he would loan them money?
He wasn't even loaning the money because they were opening up churches, they were opening up organizations, and they were opening up businesses. So he's donating this money, quote unquote, donating the money.
You don't donate money and then ask for it back.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to tell you how it comes back. I'm just letting you know he's the powerful man in town. He has a lot of influence. And
did he start a Jewish mob?
The Jewish mob?
A Jewish mob.
Oh, I don't know.
In his town.
I don't know. But, oh, another thing that was going on. So, again, he grew the plant to the largest producer in the United States. But he was also cited for issues involving animal cruelty, food safety, environmental safety, child labor, and hiring of illegal immigrants.
Of course.
Because people got to work. And if they're going to be making money, they're not going to be getting paid fairly. And who can you treat unfairly? Immigrants and children. So he was bringing in all these employees, so don't ask, don't tell, to his hiring practices. Yeah. So he would bring in workers from Mexico and Guatemala, knowing that they're illegal, and he would get them fake IDs for immigrant workers, and they were fucking printing out fake cards in the office. Like, fake ID cards. They had a fucking machine. So he was very involved with getting the cards.
Oh my god.
And his, because he went on trial for this.
Yeah.
So his lawyer claims that Shalom, he wasn't HR. He's like, Shalom's not HR. He's the fucking CEO. And he relied on his team to verify employment and eligibility status. It was his HR that was fooled by all of these undocumented workers.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of the undocumented workers.
Idiot.
Yeah. And so the town, right? I was saying the town's super small. The town has,
Well, they have a bank. We don't even have a bank anymore. So there's that.
We don't have a bank anymore. Yeah, you're right. Bunch of fucking assholes.
Cal City has two banks.
Oh, you guys are fancy. But there's a lot of undocumented workers. He paid a lot of them in cash. And what was going on is, so
what the hell is that?
In the case that the workers were not able to be verified or work legally, he would pay them in cash.
Uh-huh.
And
it's called under the table, but go ahead.
It was called under the table, but what the Hunt payroll thing was, it was just like he would pay them, they would just pay them under the table in cash. But then he also didn't want to pay people overtime. So there are people in there working 60 to 80, not 80 hours, because that's fucking too many hours a week.
That's twice as many hours.
Yeah, they were working, I think, like 50 to 60 hours a week. So, you know, that's overtime. Anything over 40 hours is overtime. And instead of paying them overtime, what he would do is like, okay, you're going to get a 40-hour check from agriprocessors. And then this other 10 or 20 hours is going to be paid from a different business, and you're going to get the regular hours. So he didn't have to pay overtime.
Double time, or time and a half.
Exactly, which sucks. So, but the thing was, they weren't getting paid minimum wage. They were getting paid above minimum wage, but it was still considered exploitation because it was low for the industry. For industry standards, his employees are getting paid garbage.
Oh.
So like I said, right. So these people were open for exploitation. So the employees complained about what was going on. There was lots of unions complaining to the Jewish Labor Board the Jewish Labor Board Committee about unfair and dangerous labor practices. So, hired 14-year-old kids, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds. They're set legally. You cannot be under the age of 18 and be on a kill floor. And they had young kids on kill floors. There was lots of incidents happening. People were losing limbs.
Yeah.
Getting shit stuck in things that shouldn't be stuck in. And there was also a lot of sexual assault going on, too. At the fucking plant.
Oh, God.
Yeah. This is just on the surface. This is just on the fucking surface. Like, that's why I have all these pages. This guy's full of shit. Oh my god. So, since he's hiring all these underage people, and there's a lot of people complaining, there was an expose done. So much reporting led to a groundbreaking expose from the Forward's Nathaniel Popper. So I got some of this. This is a
direct quote from Forward.com.
But Nathaniel Popper exposed serious allegations of mistreatment of animals, employees at the plant. Their concern was driven by reporting on agriprocessors, and that led to some rabbis to create Hesher Zedek certification, promising the slaughterhouse employees would be treated ethically, but they weren't. Business eventually started to suffer because people come in to do an investigation because they're saying, this is going on, and they're like, no, it's not, shut up. So the people come in.
No, it's not,
be quiet, everything's fine here. So people come in to do some investigating, and they come in and they start interviewing employees. And when they come in, the employees were told not to fucking talk to anybody. Don't you say shit to anybody, okay, or you're going to be fired.
They're threatening them.
Uh-huh. Don't talk. And when people come in, heads are down. Nobody is smiling. Nobody is talking. It is fucking uncomfortable. Everyone looks at the ground. No smiles. Don't talk to anybody, or you will be fired. And while this investigation is going on, they're fucking watching employees. So people are watching everybody because pretty much the company owns the fucking town.
Uh-huh.
What they were finding out is some employees were experiencing headaches and nosebleeds. And they're like, okay. And they're like, what do you do? And he's like, well, I mix chemicals that are used to clean the plant.
Jesus.
So he was like, okay, so do they provide you a breathing mask? And he's like, no. So he's getting no breathing masks were given to any of the employees. There's limbs are lost in the meat grinders. Arms were fucking lost.
Oh, no. Again, underage people. It's Soylent Green.
So, guys, go vegetarian. You don't have to be vegan, but give up that meat once or twice a week and just think about how your body feels.
That's a flexitarian.
Even if it's kosher, apparently you're getting arms too, so.
Well, there, because they're fucking up shit.
Mm-hmm. So there's underage kids working on the kill floor, and, again, the kids that were underage, between 14 and 17, they were given, fake IDs and fake green cards. There was also employee housing. So they brought in people from, you know, Mexico, from Guatemala and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So what Rubashkin did was he started buying up real estate in the neighborhood or in the town. So he's able to house the people.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of shitty housing. I mean, it is housing, but it's kind of shitty housing for them.
Don't they have... I feel like this was like a case where like they were shoving people, like overcrowding their houses. Like mm-hmm. making people...
Like bunk it up and...
Yeah. Or like they had... I think there was one, it probably wasn't these guys, but there was one incident at a meat packing plant or a slaughterhouse where they were getting employees from other countries,
mm-hmm.
and they had rented out a school.
Oh, shit.
And they had put all these people up in this school
mm-hmm.
to live there
mm-hmm.
while they were working for this plant. And they weren't given, like, beds. They had to sleep on the floor. And, like, it was an old school, like, an old renovated... But this, I think this was, like, in the 40s or something that this happened. I can't remember. I remember hearing about it or reading about it, and I was like, what?
The fuck is going on?
Yeah, it was really weird.
What the fuck? All right. So, all this is going on for their employees and everything. The green cards, the housing. While this is happening, Rubashkin gets... a $35 million operating loan.
$35 million
dollar operating loan to run the operation, to run the plant.
What did he need a loan for? He's making $300 million
a year. You're making $300 million a year. But if I'm making all this money, right, I go ahead and sell you a local grocer, that maybe has a couple locations. I contract with you and I get $1 million contract with you. I'm going to send out the meat, and then I'm going to collect the money later.
Something to that effect. That's what's going on. So there's lots of operating costs. They have to pay the people. As the money comes in, the money goes out. Blah, blah, blah. It's a cycle.
Yeah.
So he's got this loan, and he continues to get more money on the loan. He continues to keep borrowing money from the bank. So to borrow money from the bank, they have to be very profitable. And to be, appear super profitable,
yeah,
he started creating fake invoices to the bank. For the bank, he could create fake invoices for fake businesses so he could have it on his book to say, oh, I brought on this new client, we're bringing in this much money, this much money, this much money. Please loan me more money.
Uh-huh.
Because we're bringing in all this money, it's going to get paid, we're profitable, just give us some more money.
Uh-huh.
So, they're called fake bills of lading. I don't know. Look, even if I type it, it doesn't even make sense. Like, I can write it or type it, it doesn't matter. So, with the fake voices, invoices out, they have to be paid eventually. You just can't create these fake invoices.
Right.
And then they're not paid. It's like, hey, this, you're owed money here. You said that this person owes you $60,000. It needs to be paid.
Uh-huh.
So what they're doing is they have invoices out that need to be paid. Banks like this money coming in. Yeah, so they have all these invoices. The banks like the money. The money's coming in. And they're also creating more collateral. So when people are actually really paying their invoices, the real invoices that they have, the real customers, they're putting the real money that's paid for a legitimate invoice, they're crediting that towards a fake invoice.
Uh-huh.
So their books are fucked up. They don't match.
Uh-huh.
So a bunch of this is going on. They're moving this money over here. So this is spending in my left hand. Okay? Just pay attention to my left hand. Don't pay attention to anything else. While my left hand is doing this fraudulent shit with the money, over here on the right, the employees are being treated like shit. And he's got immigration and all this fraud shit going on this side with his employees to bring them in and, you know, this.
Uh-huh.
Let me turn the page. So I was like, so the fake invoices must be paid. So they were moving money around. They're paying Peter to pay
fake Paul.
Yeah. So they're robbing Peter to pay fake Paul, pretty much. And so I told you how he would give these businesses money, right?
Uh-huh.
So he had $10 million floating around in the community. So it was in schools, it was in businesses, it was in churches. $10 million floating around. So what was going on is it was called check kiting. So what he would do, he had $25 million in checks circulating from check kiting. So he would say, okay, Shalom School, I'm going to need you to write me a check. Or what he would do is like he would write them a check for a certain amount of money. And then they would cash the check and then turn around and write Shalom a check or the agri-processors a check.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would know the dates of, you know, the checks aren't going to clear for this amount of days.
Uh-huh.
So we can float these checks and have money coming in and have it going out. But the money was only going to the bank and to agri-processors. It wasn't really going anywhere else to these schools and this and that. Because
right. They weren't using the money. They were just giving it right back.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And it's weird. It was just ways of hiding money and keeping the business afloat and moving things around. And he thinks...
What is he hiding all the money for, though?
Oh, we're going to find out what he's hiding this money for. So, from November 2007 to October 2008, he was borrowing $1 million a month from the bank.
How the fuck do you do this?
He's doing this by showing that he's a profitable company.
How do you borrow $1 million? Is this the same bank, or is he going to different banks?
It's the same fucking bank, and they're just, he paid, he was paying interest on $35 million of loans. So he ended up paying $22 million in interest over 10 years.
What a dumbass.
So the banks just kept giving him more
money. They're like, oh, well, we're just going to make more money off of him.
Collecting the interest because they never missed the fucking payment. They're like, okay, we're just going to give this motherfucker more money and get more money off of the interest. And that's what banks do.
Yeah.
They collect fucking interest.
But not like that. That's insane. What bank is this? This is some fucking, is that the bank in the town, the town bank?
I think I have it in here somewhere. We'll just close.
That's ridiculous. Bank of America ain't gonna do that shit for you.
No, they're not. And then also, starting in 2008, he also started funneling $1.5 million into personal accounts, too. So, he was giving the money to local churches and businesses in the family.
And everybody had their hand out. Everybody was taking a piece of the pie because they're like, oh shit, let's go to fucking Iowa. Let's go to agriprocessors. Let's work with Rubashkin and the family. And he's hiring people in the family, and they had their hand out. They're just making fucking money.
Yeah, Jewish people like to keep their money in their community.
Well, they're taking that money, and then what Rubashkin was doing, he was purchasing jewelry, coins, and Jew gold. So he was buying gold.
Damn it, Cartman.
He was buying gold, he was buying coins, he was buying jewelry. He paid off personal credit cards, he paid off health insurance, and this is all from the fucking company. And this is all the money that he was funneling to his personal bank accounts. So he's
embezzling money from his company.
So he spent $300,000 on credit cards. Paid off $300 worth of credit cards with the company's money. $200,000 in remodeling. $76,000 in state and federal tax income.
Remodeling what?
His home. Okay. Yeah, because he had a fat fucking compound. It was a nice house. I would have wanted to hang out there. It was nice. Like, he got a lot of land and running around and grass and shit. You know, they grow their own stuff. Why the fuck not? He's like, I gotta make this place fat. Hey guys, if I was a rich man.
They're on the roof.
All day long with a dilly dilly dum.
Oh god.
So racist. Okay.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Good job, Brian. I don't think I've ever watched that movie. But I know the songs. Isn't that funny?
That's a play.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
It's a musical. Every time you name a play, I always say it's a movie.
Well, it was made into a movie too. Mm-hmm. But it was a play first.
Okay. So he's paying off personal credit cards and health insurance, right? And then I told you there's also allegations of sexual harassment, assaults, and rapes. So what the fucking managers, which were part of the family, because his brother works there, and there's some other fucking people working there in the company, for better hours.
Did they have an HR?
They did have an HR.
Okay. was there even an HR?
There was, but who knows what kind of fucker was running it. For better hours, they would proposition on the employees to have sex in the office, the women. The young girls, like 15, 16, 17.
O-M-fucking-G.
They actually documented 2 cases of sexual assault in the office. And it's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit, man. It's just like, fuck you, I'm gonna kick you in the dick. Son of a bitch. God. So then what happens is...
God damn it!
Darn it! So all these allegations are going on, and then fucking finally OSHA comes in. And I'm like, fucking OSHA in the house, finally.
Why didn't somebody call OSHA? Are these people, like, how educated are these people that work in these places?
They're illegal immigrants.
But they're not all illegal immigrants, are
they?
The
people that aren't illegal immigrants are just happy to get paid, and the other people in the company are a part of the freaking family. Mm. They ain't saying shit.
Okay.
They're not saying anything. And then he's just like, whatever, everything's cool. I'm just going to make my house. And
so who tipped off OSHA? PETA.
PETA tipped off OSHA. There was just lots of complaints going on. So people were complaining, even like the Jewish council of some sort. They were like, you need to sign this and make sure you're treating all your employees fair. So they did try and come in and make sure he was doing it right. But he wasn't. And while this is going on, who was it? The fucking state? The government had been sending agriprocessors...
notices?
Letters, yeah, that the information doesn't match. It's like, you're fucking playing, you know, Hector Ramirez this much money, and this is his Social Security, but it doesn't match. So, you need to get your shit right. He's getting all these letters on a regular basis of all the employees that he's hired that are illegal, that they have inaccurate
shit. Fucked up Social Securities and all that
other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, OSHA gets the agriprocessors. They actually get agriprocessors for 39 safety violations for the employees. And then, of course, Shalom claims he had no idea about what was going on. And there was this person on the podcast. He was like, you're the fucking CEO. Your job is to know what's going on.
You know what, though? A lot of CEOs don't know shit about what's going on. Like, on the employee level, they don't know shit. And the managers will try to keep that shit from the CEOs from finding out. Look, at a place that I was working.
Okay, are you gonna say their name?
At a place that I was working, it was the other way around. The CEO knew everything that was going on, and the employees didn't know shit. It was weird.
They like to keep people ignorant. They like to keep them in the dark.
But yeah, it was just like they're
It's stupid. So again, he had no idea what was going on, And then the company is now receiving no match letters from the government on the regular letters from immigration misinformation. So that's what it was called. So finally, fucking finally, all of this stuff is building up against them. So May 12, 2008, there's an immigration raid. And at the time, it is the largest in the United States history up to that point. It led to the arrest of 389 undocumented workers at the agri-processor's
plant. Why are they getting arrested? They didn't do it.
They took them back.
Why'd they
get arrested?
So they were deported.
I felt like it was a movie. They had helicopters, they had cruisers, they had squad cars. They blocked off the entrances to the town. They raided the business. 2/3 of the employees were illegal at the fucking plant.
2/3.
Two-thirds. And they were hiding in there.
How many employees were there? Did it say?
It's 1,000, I believe. 1,000 employees.
Oh, my God.
2/3. So
that's 2,300 employees. I mean...
If almost 300 people got arrested. 2/3. Hiller.
Okay, go ahead.
Hiller. They're hiding in the offices. They were hiding, like, it took them hours to find everybody. And they were putting everybody on a bus. They were putting them on a fucking bus. They found the fake IDs in HR and the fucking machine making them. Box full of fake IDs and the fucking machine printing them out. Like, are you kidding
me? Why do they have a box of fake IDs? If you're making a fake ID, give it to the person you're making. Why do you have more? That's stupid.
It is stupid. Exactly.
God.
It's stupid.
What? Why would you have a box of... Or maybe they were just blank cards.
Maybe waiting for a picture.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know, but that's just stupid. It's dumb.
So, the raid happens, and then the fucking business goes up in smoke.
Good.
So, the business went up in smoke, and then this is a direct quote from me. Then it was like a domino effect. All the businesses are shutting down. They're getting in trouble.
The town businesses?
The town businesses.
Okay.
They can't make their payments anymore. So they lost the employees.
Because this asshole's giving up all the money.
Losing the fucking money. And then,
Hey, Karina, do you want to hear an interesting new fact about sloths?
Impossible, Cassie. I know all there is to know about sloths. They spend their whole lives eating and sleeping, and that's living the dream in my book.
I bet you don't know this fact.
Fine, surprise me.
Sloths are surprisingly fast and skilled swimmers. They can move 3 times faster in water than they ever can on land.
Suddenly, I love them even more. Where can I possibly learn more exciting and interesting facts about sloths?
Well, we did do an entire episode on sloths for Crittercast.
Right! Crittercast, our comedic animal-themed podcast. It's the show where we talk about all kinds of animals and why we love them.
We upload new episodes twice a month on every 2nd and 4th Sunday.
Just in time for your Monday morning commute. You can find Crittercast on iTunes, Spotify, and many other podcast streaming apps.
Plus, check out our website,
CritterCastPodcast.com,
for links to all of our social media and for more fun facts and adorable photos of critters, big and small.
CritterCast Podcast.
He was with First Bank.
He just bankrupted a town.
Yeah. He was banking with First Bank, and First Bank is like, oh, there's a lot of weird shit going on. So then they call in the loan.
First
and I guess that's when they're like, we want our money, when they call in a loan.
Uh-huh. They're like, you need to pay us.
You need to pay us our money.
Yeah.
And they call in the loan, and then they file for bankruptcy.
The bank did?
Mm-hmm.
The bank filed for...
No, agri-processors.
Oh, okay. I was like, the bank filed for bankruptcy?
Mm-hmm. Agri-processors files for bankruptcy as everything's going on. So agri-processor plants stopped operating in October 2008. And then on November 5th, 2018, that's when the firm, they filed for bankruptcy. And since they filed for bankruptcy...
10 years later?
No, baby.
You said 2018.
I'm sorry, 2008.
Oh, okay.
November 5th, 2008, that's when they officially filed for bankruptcy.
Okay.
So since they filed for bankruptcy, they gotta go through all the fucking paperwork. They gotta go through the books. And then I said they go through the books and the shit hitteth the fan.
If.
So all the frauds are revealed.
Oh, God.
So they find that the investigators determine that there's fake invoice fraud, kite flighting fraud, immigration fraud. They're chasing the money to figure out where it went because real people were paying for fake fucking invoices.
You said kite flighting. You mean check kiting?
Kite flighting. Yeah, check flighting.
Check kiting.
Check kiting. That. So then, and they figure this out, right? And I guess before all this is going on, Shalom in September 2008... And actually, Aaron, his father, they're hit with 9,311.
His father, too?
Because his father is the fucking sole owner of the company. His father owns agriprocessors. And
did he not know what was going on?
He was up in fucking, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
This is a selling meat accent. Selling accent. I'm all selling meat.
He's selling meat, but he doesn't know what his son is doing over in fucking Iowa. Mm-mm.
No. What? So, Shalom and Aaron both are hit with 9,311 labor violations involving 29 children under the age of 18.
Oh, my God.
Ages ranges from 14 to 18.
Jesus.
So, Shalom is hit for conspiracy to harbor undocumented aliens.
That's a conspiracy to harbor, huh?
Mm-hmm. Undocumented aliens. Document fraud. A $26 million bank fraud situation.
That's insane.
161 federal accounts. And then what I said, he... all the money, where the money went for a majority of the money. The $300,000 to credit cards, the $200,000 to remodeling, the $76,000 he used to pay his state and federal taxes, and he gets hit with 86 counts of bank fraud.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. So, Rubashkin was denied bail in November 20th, 2018, following a judge, John Scholes' determination that he posed a flight risk.
You can go back to fucking Russia.
Mm-hmm. Listen, they went into his fucking house. They were searching his house, and the agents found
all his jewels.
Yes. Not only did he have a bag of $20,000 in cash, he had several silver coins, passports, and the Israel's law to return.
Oh, Israel.
Mm-hmm. Which grants automatic citizenship to every Jew and member of his family upon immigration. However, the successful use of the argument based on Israel's law of return has caused concern among Jewish communities who fear that such claims could be used to deny bail to Jews in general. Because it's like, you're going to flee to Israel. You can't, no.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
But don't commit any fucking crimes.
Thank you. I can't commit any crimes? What the fuck? This isn't fair.
Like, don't commit any fucking crimes. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to worry about
don't
bail.
Don't commit any fucking crimes and you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
So then what happens is they're going through, you know, law. They're going through law. They dropped some of the charges.
Okay.
So the charges that they dropped were the immigration charges. They dropped all the immigration charges. So, in June 2010, he was acquitted of child labor violations in state court.
That's a federal case.
Nope. So, in state court for the immigration, he was acquitted because these are considered misdemeanors in Iowa. Hmm. And if he would have done the exact time for each person or each account that he had, he would have done 760 years in prison.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
Hell.
However, federal charges. He gets charged on June 27th, 2010. He gets hit with 27 years in prison. And he fucking owes $27 million in restitution. And at the time, he was supposed to be released on 2033. Right? Uh-huh. However, your president commuted his sentence.
Which one?
Mr. Trump.
Fucking bastard.
Trump. So on December 20th, 2017, he got his sentence commuted and he was released on time served. And he only did 8 years. And here's the thing though. Everyone was like, you know what? Fuck you. So you're telling me that employees, they don't fucking matter.
Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about employees.
No, he doesn't. The employees, well, that Donald Trump wasn't involved when he was sentenced.
Uh-huh.
But you're forgiving me for all the immigration and the bullshit I've done to my employees, even though it's way more severe. But when I took money from the fucking bank, you gave me 27 years.
Right.
So it's like, don't rob from the bank, motherfucker. Treat your employees however the fuck you want, but don't take the bank's money.
Yeah.
What kind of shit is that? Dude.
Banks are assholes.
But then everyone was like, how dare you charge him for 27 years? That's crazy. People were like, it's overkill. It's overkill. Did you hear all the fucking shit this guy did? Did you guys hear this shit? It's ridiculous.
Did anybody else go to jail? Like,
nope.
The people that were fucking sexually assaulting these little girls?
Nope. Just him. He was CEO.
Okay, but he didn't... He's not the one who was doing all the freaking sexual assaulting, was he?
I don't think... Maybe they didn't name names, but they were like, hey, this was going on behind closed doors. So they didn't say anybody else went down. It was all about Roshkin.
That's fucking horseshit.
Horseshit!
I agree, Brandy. You're so
you weird. Freaking sexually assault my child.
I'll kill you.
Exactly.
I'll end you.
Finish him!
I will finish you.
I'll fucking finish you, for sure. Mm-mm. I'm gonna get myself some Jugold, though. Start putting my money in gold. What's Jugold anyway?
The gold standard is...
It's garbage. We should have learned from Billionaire's Boys Club, don't invest in gold, right?
Here's the thing. Gold is only worth what we say it's worth.
Oh, okay.
That's why the dollar is only... I mean, a dollar is a dollar. It's a paper. It's a piece of fucking paper. But that piece of paper has a value because people say it has a value. Mm-hmm. If it was a fucking piece of fucking... A rock off the ground, well, that's what gold is a rock off the fucking ground, pretty much.
It's a rock.
That's what it is. But you know what I mean? If it was a leaf off of a fucking tree, mm-hmm. and I was like, this right here, you can buy a whole house with this.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And look, I'm going to trade that rock in as soon as I can. Let me get this house.
The leaf.
Oh, the leaf?
The leaf off a tree.
Shit, yeah, take it. Here.
Money doesn't grow trees? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
All we got to do is say it does.
Yeah, let's fucking make it happen. That's what how that not Bitcoin. It is Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. Ethereum.
Yeah, I just can't. I'm just gonna barter from now on. So I'm making beer. So if you guys want some of my beer, sign up for Patreon.
Bah!
You're stupid.
What is happening? What is going on?
I like to barter. I think bartering's fun. Like I'll give you either dog biscuits or I'll give you beer. Or wine.
Did you get a beer making kit?
No, dude, I watch YouTube.
I know, but you have to have the stuff to make the beer. You can't just make beer out of nothing.
I can make ginger beer out of nothing.
Out of air.
Out of ginger.
You know, whisper some fucking ginger beer into the existence.
Whisper, whisper, whisper. Ginger beer.
And it's, there it is. It's in a bottle.
It's just like with the wine. It's just fermentation.
Right, but beer, you need hops and shit.
Not with ginger beer. I just need ginger yeast. You're gonna be like, this is delicious.
And I'm gonna say,
you can't have any. You can't sit with us.
I don't think I drink ginger beer. But...
Do you like ginger ale?
It's not the same.
It's not the same. I wasn't saying it was.
It's not the same.
All right, so that was Shalom Rubashkin. So he is free. He's out, and he's probably fucking ruining shit.
He needs to be put somewhere. They need to send his ass to a fucking labor camp.
A labor camp. Ooh, he's like, no, it's not fair. Or like business school. They should have made his ass graduate from fucking business school and learn how to be...
Force him to go to business school?
Yeah, and teach him how to be a fucking human being and learn how to treat fucking people.
You
don't
learn how to be
people.
A human in business school. That's where... You learn how to rape people in business school.
Oh, fuck. I'm just saying, like, you should learn how to... Be compassionate about your employees and care about them and...
Send them to Guantanamo Bay.
Shut that shit down. He actually went to jail in New York somewhere. He went to jail in New York. So this motherfucker ran a slaughterhouse and ran it into the fucking ground. And they were saying, like, when they were trying to figure out his fraud, they were confused. Because what was happening...
They were confused.
They were like, look at the invoices and say, hey, this invoice is unpaid and it would be a real person. And they're like, no, motherfucker. I sent in a check... I paid that $60,000,
You want to see my canceled check, bitch?
And then they figure out he moved the money around. I did simplify it in my words for you guys.
So, yeah, he got money for this invoice and said it was paid for this invoice. That's what he did.
He just was doing all that.
And so the invoice that was supposed to be written off as paid just sat there.
Mm-hmm. And this was all, everything that went on was from his instruction. So he's like, okay, do this, Janet. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. I had no idea.
Okay, here's the thing. You have to know how to do this. Mm-hmm. You have to know how to commit this fucking fraud. So he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he fucking did.
This isn't something like, oh, I made a mistake.
I didn't know that I could give this guy a couple million dollars and then have him write me a check. And
who was he talking to?
Have
like,
it clear and then it comes back and then I didn't know. Like, he was honestly, getting some garbage. He was getting some garbage advice from somebody, whoever he was talking to.
Seriously, because check kiting is complicated, and you have to. First of all, you have to be able to give the check to somebody who's going to give you that money back.
That's why he gave it to those schools, like to the businesses and everything, because they were just sitting on that fucking money.
Exactly. But I'm saying, like, if you give me a check, mm-hmm. and you're like, here you go, here's this check. And, like, you're like, I'm going to be, you know, you're going to have to write me a check for this money back. I'll be like, no, just keep your fucking check. Like, I don't want that. No, you keep your check.
Keep your check. Keep your rubber check.
Exactly. Like, I'm not interested.
Keep your rubber check, bitch.
Like, fuck all that. You ain't giving me no money, so fuck off. I don't want it.
Fuck all
that. I want your fake check.
Fuck all that. Fuck it. All right. So that's this motherfucker. Hey, guys. This is super late, but if this is your first episode, welcome. I hope you enjoyed it.
Hey guys,
if you have enjoyed it, why don't you go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss the episode. And if you feel so inclined and you are an Apple user, go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. I hope it was good. If it was good, give us 5 stars, please. Thanks. Thank you so much. So, I want to give a shout out to the people who left us a review this past week. So, if you did leave us a review, thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to Ghost_Lyric. We are the Truth Sisters. I'm going to read to you. That was the title, Truth Sisters. So, I'm just going to read to you the review. I never do this. So, it says, the premise of the show is really unique. And although I was hesitant to jump in, I'm glad I did.
I think I read that one.
It is really well done and informative. I love the refreshing take that Brandy and Sunny bring to their stories and accounts covered in the podcast. And of course, the communication and back and forth between the sisters is so fun and easy to enjoy. I know the show is relatively new, but I'm really enjoying it and looking forward to more.
Oh, yay.
Thank you so much.
Woo!
Woot, woot! So thank you.
We need a review bot that just writes reviews.
Oh my god.
No. We can get like 20,000 reviews overnight.
Ew.
That'll look stupid and crazy.
That won't look shady. Look at that won't look...
Like fraud at all, right?
Yeah. Review fraud? All the reviews.
I think that it does happen. People pay for reviews all the time.
Really?
All the time. But, like, on products. Like, on Amazon, some of those reviews are fake.
Well, I'm not leaving you guys any reviews unless I've listened to your podcast. So, if I have left you a review, it's coming from Sunny Lala. And if I left you a review, I meant every word I said.
I need to get... See, that I don't have... I mean, I don't listen to podcasts on my iPad.
But you have iTunes, right?
I have iTunes on my iPad, yes.
You can just,
But, like, you can't... You know what really sucks is that whole, like, Mac fucking elitist shit. You can't listen to iTunes on an Android.
No.
So, I can't listen through iTunes and write reviews.
That fucking elitist shit. Tell us how you really feel, Brandy.
I mean, I love Mac. Like, when I had my MacBook, I loved the shit out of it until some fucking coffee got spilled in it and it ruined it. But, I'm just saying.
Okay. Do you have a thumbs up for the week?
Oh, gosh. My thumbs up for the week is yes. My thumbs up for the week is, it goes out to Beads and Clues, I think that's what it's called, in Tehachapi. It's a bead store. I haven't been there yet, but I've seen pictures, and I'm going to go there this week and get some beads for my jewelry making. I'm excited about going in there. I probably, you know, I was going to buy, like, beads on Amazon and stuff, but I saw it that there's a bead store.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to go in there and get some beads.
I'm going to go in there.
And I'm not going to go to Michael's. I'm going to go to a local store mm-hmm. that is owned by a woman who lives in the town and patronize her store, even though the beads are probably like $1 million.
I hope they're not $1 million. Because you said you can make like a beaded dog collar, right?
Yeah, that actually I can do that with the seed beads. These I'm gonna get like just regular like mm-hmm. bead, normal size beads, mm-hmm. like 6 millimeter beads. Seed beads are the tiny ones that you see like the Indian jewelry
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What's your thumbs up for the week?
What is my thumbs up for the week? Okay. Guys, let's talk about Trip. So, last week...
That's your thumbs up is Trip?
Let's talk about Trip. So, last week, Jamal and Kendall, they went outside and they left Trip in the house. And they closed him up in the house. And he was in the house by himself. and he lost his shit. He chewed up the floorboard. He chewed up the blinds downstairs.
The baseboard.
The baseboard, the blinds, and he broke the handle on the sliding glass door. I was like, son of a bitch! Why do you do this, Trip? Why? And
well, he is a son of a bitch.
literally, right? And so I was just like, I don't know. I just don't feel like he's happy here. I don't feel like this is the right place for him. I feel like he needs to free range. He's a free range dog. He needs to be like on acreage. He needs to be on space.
Yeah, like a farm or
something. Just because I don't feel like he's happy here when I'm not here. And it's only when I'm not here when he loses it and he goes nuts. So I posted on Instagram and Facebook. I was like, does anybody want to adopt this dog? Because he's crazy. I just don't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say thank you to Amy from Why I'm Single podcast. She like attacked her boyfriend because he's a trainer. And he was like, well, I don't know. This dog needs professional help. And I was like,
he needs a shrink.
He needs a shrink.
He needs a dog whisperer.
So he was like, I really can't tell you. Like, I don't know. I need to spend some time with dogs. So I called Christina. I texted Christina Thompson. She's a dog trainer and she's local. I told her everything that was going on. And she said, go look at this product on Amazon and read the reviews. It's called Rescue Recovery or something like that. And it's an oil, and it's for anxiety. And I was like, he has PTSD. He just can't. He gets inside, he loses his shit, he wants to break out. He's having anxiety. He's crazy. He was freaking tortured for 5 years. Like, what do you expect when you've been trapped inside of a place, and then you're in a new place, and you're like, is this going to happen again? What's happening? I'm by myself. Oh, my God, I got to get out, And I think that's, like, when he's by himself, that's what he feels. And he's just like, I gotta get out of this fucking place. How do I get out? So he was really trying to open up the sliding glass door. He bit the thing off of it. He was trying to get out. He was every window. It wasn't just random shit like a couch or the middle of the living room floor. It was at entry points, exit points. He was trying to get out. And so I got the stuff. I ordered it from Amazon. Amazon again. I need to... Thank you, honey. Join honey, y'all. Join honey. It came Saturday. I ordered it Friday. It came the next day. And it's a fucking different dog.
Is it? You notice the difference, really?
I notice the difference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's just chill. He's just like, hey, guys, what's up? You guys want to hang out?
Now you're going to get him hooked. He's going to be an addict.
Yep. I'm going to make him some fucking weed dog biscuits.
Some CBD biscuits.
But the funny thing is, I was giving him CBD and I was doing it wrong. I would give him the CBD at night. He needs it in the day when I leave rather than at night.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, come on, Sunny, use your resources, think about what you're doing. But the drops that I got, he's a different dog. And the reviews, just reading the people's reviews and their experiences, I was like, I don't care, I'm going to order it. Let's fucking make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy. And it's just because Jamal's like, oh, this dog, what is he? He did this. We got to get rid of this dog. Blah, blah, blah. And he keeps saying this. I'm like, okay, we're going to get rid of the dog. But I'm not. I'm not going to give up. Because, like, people don't have patience. People don't want to know their story. If I were to send him to a shelter or something, no one knows his history.
Yeah.
And they don't care. And I care about him. And I think he deserves a chance and he deserves a home. And that is here, but he can't tear up the home, which is the problem. So I'm using the Rescue Recovery daily, and I will keep you guys posted. If you guys have any thoughts about dogs with anxiety or abused rescues, holler at a player and let me know, please. We're on Instagram, Book of Lies Podcast. We're on Twitter's Book of Lies Pod. We're on Facebook, Book of Lies Podcast. We have a page, and there is some funny shit on there. So follow us. Mm-hmm. Like it. Mm-hmm. And our website, bookoflliespodcast.com. I recently updated the website. So I do have a link to Honey in there. I think I might try and get a link to the Rescue Recovery stuff on there, too. If you guys have crazy dogs out there and they have anxiety or, you know, it just helps. I don't know. That was my thumbs up. It was super long-winded, but that was my thumbs up. What about you, Brandy?
I already did mine.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add? Any recommendations?
Oh my god, yes. Okay, so I've been listening to this podcast called Cults.
Cults, okay.
Cults. And they talk about cults.
Okay.
And this is some... It's a guy and a chick. Uh-huh. And they go into the psychology of these cult leaders and, like, you know, they talk about, like, you know, how they grew up, where they started and all this stuff and how they get these cults started and get these people to follow them. And they do each cult is in two episodes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they first talk about the leader and the cult formation and all that stuff. And then in the second one, they talk about the followers and the parishioners and how, you know, where these people came from and why they follow these people the way that they do or mm-hmm. did. It's really interesting. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah, cults. I can't even remember the names of the people.
Your recommendation.
But yeah, definitely.
I did
listen to cults.
Listen to cults. I found a new podcast too, and new for me, that is. And it's a popular one. I think I heard about them from Black Girls Do Stuff Too. Uh-huh. It's called, oh yeah, A Non-Mom Happy Hour.
Oh, I saw that. I was going to listen to that one.
I like them. Like, they're just like, I like them. I like the personality. I like their communication. Like, one girl, I haven't really got them distinguished yet. Like, you know, who's
their
who.
Their voices.
Yeah. Sorry. Who's who yet. But I guess, like, they don't have kids, you know? And so she was using, like, potty language or something, and she was doing, like, a live
stream. Potty language.
Yeah, a live stream on, like, Facebook, and someone was like, your language, it makes you, like, kind of, like, it makes you bring in, like, a low class of audience listener. And care and stuff. And she was like, bitch, come for me. Come for me, bitch. She probably didn't say it like that, but I felt like that. But like, I was just like, oh, hell no. You know, fuck all that.
Be like, well, you're not the caliber listener we want anyway.
Bye, bitch. Bye. Bye.
Okay.
Okay.
If you have a problem with the language, turn it off.
Turn it off, bitch. Turn it off.
Jeez Louise.
But don't turn us off. Anyway, so I think that's all we have for you today. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you. We actually hit 3,000 downloads last week.
Oh, exciting.
We're very excited about that. So thank you so much. Refer us to a friend. Tell your friends about us. And we'll tell our friends about you. I think that's a fair trade. So I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book of Lies. The podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ciao.